From time to time, Breakout Radio plays host to students of Cranmer Hall, the theological college and a part of Durham University. We have recently been visited by a young trainee vicar by the name of Craig Bentley, who has just completed his first year of training, and who very kindly spoke to Andy Mitchell about his journey so far. We hope you enjoy listening to Craig's story as much as we did.
Craig Bentley, thank you for coming on to Breakout Radio. And I think we're having an in-depth discussion, aren't we? We're going to find out a little bit about yourself. You've spent a bit of time with us at Breakout Radio in sunny West Auckland. How have you found your time?
Yeah, thanks for having us, Andy. It's been different. It's not what I expected, considering when I got told that the guys who went to Premier Radio last year ended up just making tea and coffee.
All right, okay.
It was a nice surprise to come here and have warm greeting and then be given a recorder and going, off you go. Yeah, I like how you just left me in the room with Ian for like 10 minutes. Cheers for that as an introduction.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Kettle's on anyway, just so you know. But yeah, so you've been out with a recorder. Where did you go?
Did a bit of stuff preparing for my own testimony and a thought for the day. But then we came up with the idea of looking at the church's fifth marker mission. So with regards to the fact that the church says one of its missions is that it wants to renew and sustain the life of the earth, wants to look after creation. So I thought I'd test myself by going out in Durham and asking people what they thought.
You're from Durham University, aren't you, I guess, or part of a wing of Durham University through St John's College and Cranmer Hall. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Because we mentioned it a few times on Breakout, and we have quite a few people from Cranmer coming to do messages for us at Christmas time. So I guess that we've obviously got students who are studying other subjects, and St John's as a college is a place where people would live.
Yeah, there are plenty of people living, so just like any other student digs, really. Just fun. And then I don't know what it says about us, but I think most of the trainee vicars get thrown up on the top floor. There's D wing or whatever. Now whether there's some sentiment in that, I don't know whether there's some sort of sentiment in that, yeah. But yeah.
I've heard the phrase vicar factory. Is that where it is up there?
Living up in the clouds, yeah.
So how have you found your experience?
It's good. Obviously, I've been out of mainstream education for easily 9 years, coming up 10 years when I started. So I had no idea what was going on. Literally, day one was like, here's an essay, do 2,500 words, thinking the most I've ever written is probably a few hundred, if I'm lucky. So yeah, getting to grips with the academic side has been tough, but it's been worthwhile. It really is. And just the diversity as well. You've got people from Church of England looking at being ministers. You've got people from the Baptists doing it. You've got Free Church track. And then you've got undergraduates as well, who are people studying theology, but not for any particular reason. So nothing towards ordination or something like that, just because they want to study theology.
Well, I'm nosy, Craig, as you know.
Sounds all right.
Yeah, so I want to take you back, really. To really when you were a lot younger. I'm led to believe that you used to be a goth many years ago.
Yes, for me sins. There you go. Yeah, don't tell the church.
There's
a soundbite for you. Yeah, don't tell the church where you got through BAP. Hopefully they won't find out about that one.
Yeah,
no, I was a goth.
Why?
I guess looking back, it was just a bit of fun I was having because I'd not really experienced anything other than being the atypical geek sat in a classroom doing his homework, you know, never got lunchtime after school detentions, nothing. So actually it was quite nice to get to college and go, I get a chance to, you know, do something I'm not used to.
So there must have been an element of you wanting to stand out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Slightly extrovert. People that know me won't believe it, but there you go. and I think being a goth was just a way of me getting that out there. And again, it's the age-old thing, innit? If your friends are doing it, you tend to go along with it. And the type of people I was hanging out with, the type of people I was getting on with, were doing it. So, you know, and that was the music I was listening to. It's the style. So I was like, yeah, who wants to be an individual?
So moving from your goth era.
Yes.
I guess, I mean, it was really interesting that you said, I guess we all do things to rebel against our circumstances, you know? And I suppose that's a real challenge for people. But I mean, in terms of describing your childhood, how would you describe it?
Safe is probably one of the ways I'd describe it. I was really lucky in the sense that my parents stayed together while other children, I was, you know, divorced. I had sisters who I got on really well with, aside, you know, the usual sibling arguments. But I think my mum always brought us up to do one thing really well, which was simply that whatever happened in the house is in the house. That, you know, if you, I'm not saying we did, but if you were to swear, you'd have your mouth washed out, which literally that was the thing. Okay. But do you know what I mean? But you could sort of do things in the house, but when you're outside, then you're on your best behaviour. Do you know what I mean? And that was instilled from us from day one, that manners were the most important thing. Going to church was important, you know, knowing God, loving God and loving each other, that was important. But mainly just that when you're outside, you are presenting yourself. You're also presenting your family, you know, friends, things like that. So that stuck with me for a long time, the sense that manners... Yeah, I always say you can do anything with manners. You know, a please and a thank you. Yeah. You could get away with murder. Well, sure. Maybe not.
So do you think in some sense, you know, and without getting too deep about the whole thing, do you think being a goth was a kind of a bit of rebel against that almost, where when you were out, it was an expression, a way of being able to express some of the things that were happening to you inside?
I think it was. I mean, I was a goth that still used please, thank you and held doors open for people, you know, so well, I don't think it changed on that level.
I'm pretty certain there are some really polite goths out there.
I reckon so.
Pretty certain.
Who knew?
So you went through your goth stage and you were telling me about this story about how you got invited to a youth group, was that right?
Just to go see a live band play. My mate, Sam, who was sat next to us, again, black trousers on, would spend half his time in lessons taking a pair of scissors to his own trousers and shredding them. I don't know why, because that was the fashion then. You had shredded trousers. And he turned to us one day and was like, oh, I know a live band that play. And do you fancy coming to listen? Obviously knew that I was into the music. And yeah, darn right. Of course, then went home. Dad, can I have a lift? usual dad's taxi. God, love him. He's driven me to some strange places.
Excellent.
My dad drove us, and it was a Methodist youth group, unbeknown to me. Walked in, completely oblivious to the fact that that's what I was going to go see. And the live band were playing Hillsong United, essentially. All Hillsong songs. And it was just a worship service for sort of teenagers. You're talking probably from 16 to 20, maybe. And I'd never experienced anything like it.
It was a bit weird.
Yeah. And you've got all these people throwing their arms up to God and some people dancing around, and I just had no idea. But again, I went there, knew some people from old high school that were there, and got chatting to people. And do you know what? It was the people that kept me going, I think. I think that was what I told myself anyway. Do you know what I mean? That, oh, I'm only going because there's some attractive girls. That, you know what I mean? That was what I told myself. But yeah, within a month or two, I found myself, you know, gone with the jeans with chains on, a bit more respectable, I think, as probably most people saw.
So you were in this place where it must have been absolutely weird and probably very different.
Very different.
Listening to the type of music we've just heard. And then suddenly you find yourself going, what, was that every week?
It was every week. I think if I'm right, it was on a Friday evening. Yeah, I found myself going every week and started actually put my hand up through songs, you know, and pretty much every week without fail, there would be some point in the service where everyone would close their eyes and you would be a case of, all right, God's in this place. If you are in that frame of mind where you want to give yourself to God, if you want to make a commitment to God, then just put your hand up. No one else would know. Everyone had their eyes closed. And at the end, the people who were leading it, the men and women who were leading it, would come and pray with you afterwards. And one night, they asked that question, if you want to make a commitment with God. And for whatever reason, I decided that that was the time, actually, I needed to make that commitment again after going so far away from it. You know, not going to church. Actually, I needed to do something to reconnect because I was missing something.
So we're moving to another era of your life there, Craig, and when you went to the REF.
Yeah, so as it does, got to the end of college and the usual choices arose. So I went to the AFCO and they offered me, oh, you like law? AFCO is Armed Forces Career Office.
Okay.
So that's where you go if you want to join any of the military. Again, the only thing that took me to the RAF was the fact that I wanted to be a pilot. Otherwise, I may have looked at Army or Navy. Yeah. I don't know why. So I went in and they showed me what was available, and you had the usual supplier, you had some chefs, and there was police, which seemed to tie in with what I'd been doing in law.